I will simply ask the question, do you know what it is that you believe? At Daleville Christian Church, we claim together an affirmation of what we believe in. Always from God's Word. This one from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The reading from God's Word is from 2 Corinthians, the letter called 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, wherein we read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of this holy word. Last time we had to talk about things that no one ever wants to talk about. Therefore today we turn to a topic that I trust will be much more enjoyable, even as it is certainly biblical. The topic is God's love, specifically that our God loves you. We are encouraged in taking up this topic because of the apostles' own words. We often use these words here at Daleville Christian Church as a benediction for our worship services. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. This is a prayer that the apostle often makes. For this reason I kneel before the Father, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Another version of that very same Bible verse puts it this way, and I pray that you and all God's people, that's you and me, and I pray that you and all God's people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know, but I pray that you will be able to know that love. Some of us are sensitive to demands from other people. I don't know if it's a brain thing or how you were raised as a child, but some of us just are. What that means when we read the Bible is that we notice some things and we notice other things less. Here's one from Jesus in John's Gospel. You've heard this all your life. Love each other as I have loved you. We demand-sensitive people hear the first part of that statement very clearly. As a matter of fact, it is as if some of us walk off to fulfill Jesus' command before Jesus can even finish the sentence. And I'm here today to make sure we all notice the second part of Jesus' statement. As I, Jesus, have loved you. Jesus can't command you to love others without you knowing, without you hearing, without being told up front, straight up, person to person, that Jesus says, I have loved you. And that's not a simple past form of the verb love. Jesus had said earlier in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Clearly, the love Jesus and the Heavenly Father have for you, the love that he has for you, is always present and always available. The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Philippi, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. To Titus, the Apostle wrote, he saved us. God poured out richly upon us that Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Those troubled Christians living in Thessalonica were reminded, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. Do you ever talk about yourself that way? It's biblical. I am loved by the Lord. I am beloved of God. You can say that to yourself every day. It's in the Bible. John emphasized it in his letters. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. So friends, we're brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. Brothers and sisters because we are all children of God. We are brothers and sisters, children of God, because we are all adopted. There are 5 references to adoption in the New Testament. They all refer to God adopting us. So we are God's children by adoption. And I've noted to you before, adoption requires 2 observations. The parents want a child, so you are wanted by the Heavenly Father. You and I are wanted. But an adopting parent wants that child right there. The Heavenly Father doesn't want just anyone as his child. The Heavenly Father has chosen you. 5 times the apostle states we are adopted. 8 times the apostle states that we belong to the Lord. We belong to Jesus. I'm not sure how much emphasis to put on you and I being a possession of Jesus, because there isn't a separate verb for the word belong. What is used is a verb of being, a to-be verb. We could simply say we are Jesus's, or we are the Lord's. It's a description of being. It is what we are, not so much a possession. And this is the way Jesus uses a different wording. And in some Bibles, it's in red ink, so we don't miss it. John 8:35, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. When we say that you are your earthly father's, we don't mean that you are your earthly father's possession, do we? Were you your parents' possession? Does your Heavenly Father possess you? No. Are we not simply descended from our earthly parents, so we are of our parents? In the same way, Jesus is saying if we are His, we are of Him, just as we are not our parents' possession, but we are of them. A slave is a possession in the ancient world. But a child is of the parents. The child is of the family in ways a slave can never be. You and I are of God. And John's letters make it clear we are of God because of Jesus. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. The verb that John uses to say in Jesus in John's gospel has these meanings. To remain. If you remain in me, or you abide in me, Jesus says. If you dwell in me, if you continue in me, if you live in me. The Apostle Paul put it this way in his letter to the Galatian churches. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Jesus is the key. This truth is not offered in any other way. We are a new creation, and you know what that means about our past. Our past is past. We are not the people we used to be, and that is because of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Our Bible verse for today is the primary description of this new creation we have become because it mentions Jesus as the cause of this new creation. Allow me to share some testimonies from people, some from writings online, some from video testimonies that can be found on YouTube and other websites. These people speak of the love of God in Jesus that made a difference, a good difference, in their life. One young woman who led a rather sheltered life had been through a series of relationships with young men, although they were all verbal relationships. Most of the relationships were over the phone. And because it was more verbal than physical, the young woman thought it wasn't really bad. She soon figured out that it was wrong, but she had a clue early on when she knew that she could never let her parents know about any of it. So as she tells it, her name was Raquel, the young woman wrote this, "So I told one of my friends, Andrew, that someone had started talking inappropriately to me, and what should I do about it? And he told me to tell the guy to leave me alone and then to go immediately and talk to my parents." Raquel thought to herself, "Heck no," I muttered in reply. "My parents could never, ever find out about this." Finally, a day rolled around where something clicked in my brain, Raquel wrote. I knew I had to get out of this mess. I knew I had to fix this as best I could. And the first way to do that was to tell this so-called friend goodbye. A friend of mine, Emily, a real friend. Emily and I had started a Bible study together, and I really felt God working in my heart. As much as I was ashamed and embarrassed by how much I had been sinning, I still felt like he was calling me. Through reading more of my Bible and praying more often and being encouraged by my friend, I felt myself coming out of that pit again. I knew that God still loved me and still wanted to call me his daughter. So one day I sat down and wrote this guy an email, then texted him and told him to check his inbox. My email read something like this: God has really been working in my life lately, and I know that what you and I have been doing to and with each other is a sin. I'm cleaning up my life and getting rid of any friends who aren't pushing me closer to God because he is what is the most important thing in my life. You aren't. So I need to tell you goodbye. I would be more than happy to forgive you if you want my forgiveness. But until you do, please never contact me again and delete my name and number from anywhere you have it saved. I'm praying for you. Raquel said, I've never heard from him again. I would emphasize that the young woman, even as she was emerging from what she considered a sinful lifestyle, she wrote, I knew that God still loved me and still wanted me as his daughter. God wanted something for this woman. God wanted this woman as his child. This young woman knew that she was loved. Another woman discovered, despite her drift away from God that went on for years, she said her mother prayed for her for 31 years. As the woman came back to the Lord, she wrote, and through reading his word, I was left in no doubt of how real he is and how much he loved me and how I was special to him. Another young woman wrote it this way: Jesus has taken me in, adopted me, and cleaned me up, but is still always doing the work he does of cleaning me up, teaching me, putting me through trials, struggles, and things to make me cling to him and grow into someone like who Jesus was and who Jesus is. A chaplain in a nursing home told what he did this way. An elderly resident asked the chaplain, "Does Jesus really love me?" I told her yes, and his nail-scarred hands were open right now to welcome her into his kingdom. Before I continue and before we misunderstand God's love, please be reminded that God's love and grace have been misunderstood since the beginning. Paul's letters are often explaining God's love to the early churches because they too were missing what it meant. So this is not a new problem, to misunderstand God's love. But having emphasized that God wants a relationship with you does require something of us. Remember the angel's words when Jesus was born? Today is born for you a Savior. A Savior. Jesus comes as a Savior. The Heavenly Father sent a Savior. So the question to each of us is this: do you need a Savior? Do you want a Savior? If the answer to that question for you is, no, I don't need a Savior, then we cannot have the relationship with God that God wants us to have with God. Does that sound mean or cruel? That the relationship that is offered for me requires me to say, I need a Savior. I want a Savior. God wants a relationship with us in which we will invest time and energy. If we refuse to invest time and energy in a relationship with God, it can't be much of a relationship, can it? But if you've ever experienced pain or illness or felt lonely or lost or any sort of blindness or injustice, I would suggest that you consider calling on God who sent Jesus. I want you to notice that the God I know sent Jesus, not someone else, not anyone else. He sent Jesus to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah's words in chapter 61. To give sight to the blind, to make the lame to walk, to release prisoners. And you remember what Jesus' name means. Jesus' name means he shall save his people from his sins. Jesus saves. He saves from their sins. What that means is that if anyone feels like they don't want a Savior, but that's what the Lord is offering, and it's offered to you. God has done this because of God's great love for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. If you don't feel that you need to be saved from perishing, then you don't have to accept the Lord's offer. But it is offered in love. And that relationship that is established in Jesus will be built on love. But I would defer to comments from Elsa Koch in her book, Discovering Unconditional Love. If we could sit with a cup of coffee, she writes, and I certainly would love to do that. If we could sit with a cup of coffee, I would tell you the real story, the story of my life and the lives of other people I have come to know. The journey is real. God changes everything when we take the time to really get to know God in Jesus, to bring to the Lord all our broken pieces. The Lord changes us in ways beyond what we can imagine. How do I explain the way I wake up in the morning since I discovered God's unconditional love? My life has a sense of purpose and joy that it didn't have before. Don't get me wrong, I still have my grumpy days, but my whole perspective on life has changed. It's amazing. Friend, if I could give you any gift in the world, it would be the realization that God is passionately, intensely, and hopelessly in love with you. The Lord wants you as His own. He wants to walk you through every hardship that you are facing. He wants to be your rock and your refuge. He wants you to call His name before you reach for anything else, before you reach for anyone else, so that He can rescue you, protect you, comfort you, and give you a future. Now, friends, I've only covered a few words and phrases that describe this love that the Lord has for us through Jesus. There are more descriptions of God's love in the Bible. You might connect more with those descriptions of God's love than the ones I've offered today. That's okay. The Lord is all about connection. The Lord is all about a relationship with the Lord. Whichever way that connection is alive and helpful and caring and growing, go with that. Go with that for life. For life to the full. For the kingdom of our Lord. And to the Lord be glory forever and ever. Amen.